You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing here our discussion of Ezekiel chapter 43. And we have here the revealing of the cleansing of the temple. And we have here a description of the temple with all the measurements of the temple. And basically a blueprint in words. Now, of course, there were those that were skilled in drawing up these plans and so forth, and they would draw them up and oversee the building of the temple after the return from the 70-year desolation, about 6 or 7 years, between 6 and 7 years before the temple was completed and the desolations were over with. Daniel gave a prophecy, and the prophecy was of 2,300 days. To the cleansing of the temple. And here we have the instruction on the rebuilding of the temple and the service that was to take place at the end of that desolation by Ezekiel during that time period. Now, there's another group out there, another culture of they call themselves Christians, whether they are or not. Well, I'm not going to label a group. Individually, there may be followers of Messiah in there, just like any other church, group, culture, or denomination. But they have a teaching, and many people got excited 150 years or so ago, 160 years ago, 1848, I believe it was, about that time, the 1840s. The date changed several times. The calculation of, guess what, 2,300 years from the Daniel prophecy landed you in the 1840s. And many people sold all their worldly possessions. And this is part of American history. Yes, it is. American church history, supposedly. And many people sold all their possessions and gathered on certain days expecting the return of the Messiah. You go to the 2,300 days prophecy in Daniel, and you see nothing about the return of the Messiah there. It was 2,300 days into the cleansing of the temple. But somehow some preachers there turned it into years. They interpreted the days as years, and then they were all waiting. And when it didn't happen, well, they redid their calculations, and they set another date and another year, and it went, and it came, and I went, and nobody disappeared, and the Messiah didn't return. And a lot of people sold their stuff, perhaps to hucksters and shysters and, you know, hirelings and wolves among the sheep. I don't know who they sold their stuff to, but they all gathered and got rid of all their earthly belongings, and guess what? Messiah didn't come. And guess what? The scripture didn't say he was coming. It said 2,300 days. That's what Daniel wrote to the cleansing of the temple. And right here, we're reading about it. Ezekiel affirming it, giving the blueprints for the temple and the service, the cleansing and the purging of the temple, getting it ready for service to make offerings and sin offerings. It was the cleansing of the temple. That's what he calls it. When thou hast made an end of cleansing. That's what we're talking about, the cleansing, the purging. And that's what the prophecy was about, 2,300 literal days. And it was fulfilled then. Why can't people accept that? And then it didn't come to pass. And so rather than be wrong, well, they said we were wrong, but we were only partly wrong. Actually, the temple was cleansed in heaven. That's why we didn't see it on earth. Well, that's very convenient to have a fulfillment of a prophecy where it cannot be verified. And what's the purpose of the prophecy? And still, why accept something like that, that you can't see, when we have it affirmed, confirmed in history that the prophecy was actually fulfilled to the letter, and we have additional prophecies like Ezekiel here, given a prophecy, the rebuilding of the temple and the cleansing of it. And then it was actually fulfilled. Yeah, that's right. They rebuilt the temple. And they, guess what they did? They cleansed it. They followed these instructions given here to Ezekiel and written down for the children of Israel when that time would come. Whether Ezekiel was alive at the time, I don't know. But I know his instructions were there. And those were the instructions that they followed. These were the blueprints and the instructions that they followed. That's what they had. It was fulfilled. Scripture, interpreting scripture. This is how we understand. We use the scripture to interpret it. Let's continue here. 7 days thou shalt prepare every day a goat for a sin offering, and they shall prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days they shall purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. This is the cleansing of the temple that was talking, that was told of, foretold to Daniel, which he recorded there, the 2300 days, fulfilled in a literal 2300 days. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day, and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. And there it is, the Adonai Yahweh in the Hebrew. Moving on to chapter 44 and verse 1. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said Yahuwah unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall be not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, Yahuwah, the God of Israel, the Elohim of Israel, hath entered in it, in by it, therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before Yahuwah. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, but shall go out by the way of the same. And of course, what is the prince there? The exalted one, the king, the ruling, captain, chief, cloud. So perhaps that was the gate for the king of Israel. So that was the, was that the east gate? Toward the east, yes, the east gate. Yeah, maybe we'll discover more about that later. Maybe we won't. It is for the prince, the king, there, the 5387. He shall sit in it to eat the bread before Yahuwah. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. So the king was to enter in there. I'm going to take it as the king of Israel was to enter in by that gate, or whoever the prince of the people or the ruler of the people was in his earthly kingdom there, Israel, because Israel was not the heavenly kingdom. It was a kingdom on earth. It was not a heavenly nation like the holy nation we have today that covers the whole earth. It was a nation of flesh and blood called by his name. Continuing, then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of Yahuwah filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. And Yahuwah said unto me, son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of Yahuwah, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering into the house, and every going forth out of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith Adonai, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith Adonai, Yahweh, no stranger uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh. And you see a there's a distinguishment there. Uncircumcised in heart. That means they're not consecrated to him in their heart. They have wickedness in their hearts. He looks upon the heart. And of course, they had the circumcision covenant in the flesh. No uncircumcised, no stranger uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house, and ministering to the house, they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall in iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith Adonai, Yahweh, the Lord God. And they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests of the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. And they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass, when they enter at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. Sweat being perhaps being a part of the curse. And when they go forth into their utter courts, and even to the utter court of the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they have ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only pull their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that was put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. Now these are the rules for the priests in the temple service. And remember that our Heavenly Father, by His Son, Yahshua the Messiah, He put an end in the middle of the 70th week to the priest temple sacrifice system. He put an end to it in the middle of the 70th week by the sacrifice of Himself. So this is the instruction for the priests when they get back and the temple is restored for the final days of the nation Israel, the final 70 weeks of Israel as a set-apart nation, which ended Israel's status. Yes, perhaps they have a special place in the heart of the Almighty, and I wouldn't doubt that Israel's still a demonstration to Him, but they lost their special status of the kingdom of God on earth as God's chosen people. Yes, they are chosen. They were chosen, and they were chosen for the purpose that they were chosen. But they don't have that same status that ended when the 70 weeks were up. Their status became equal with the other nations as regarding salvation and the Word of God. Now they have to come through the Messiah just like everyone else to enter into the holy nation. And truly, as we read here, he made a distinction between circumcision of the heart and circumcision of the flesh, because always his holy nation are those that are circumcised in heart, whether in the flesh or no. It doesn't matter. Because before the covenant of circumcision was given to Abraham, everyone before him was uncircumcised, even those who were members of his holy nation. Adam, his sons, Seth, and going up to Noah, up to Abraham, there was no circumcision statute given. That was for the Israel in the flesh, set apart as a nation up until the end of the 49 or the 70 weeks prophecies. But the circumcision of the heart is what makes the holy nation. Because even though during that time when they had the covenant, the circumcision covenant, and men were circumcised, everyone who was circumcised did not automatically make it into his holy set apart nation, the remnant, the holy nation of the circumcised heart. That's the difference, that we are circumcised, we are set apart, and we cut off the flesh. We crucify the deeds of the flesh. That's what it means to be circumcised in heart. How did the Messiah put it? He said, if you don't pick up your cross and follow me, that is crucifying the deeds of the flesh, those things that are unlawful according to his law, or anything that he personally forbids to you, which can go beyond the law. Many people have to cut off more than the law requires by a special dispensation or agreement between them and the Almighty. But the law is where you start to find out what we need to cut off, to crucify the deeds of the flesh, to be circumcised in our heart. That's what matters in his holy nation. And that's the way his holy nation has always been from Adam and Eve until he returns. Those that are circumcised in heart, in Israel, in heart, and by the flesh, they were required. Let's pick it back up here. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy, the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall come in. They should come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter or for brother or sister that hath no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, then they shall reckon to him 7 days, and the day that he goeth out into the sanctuary and to the inner court to minister to the sanctuary, he shall offer a sin offering, saith the Lord God. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all, the first fruits of all the things at every oblation of all, to every sort of oblation, shall be the priest. You shall offer, you shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessings to rest in thy house. The priest shall not eat anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be a fowl or a beast. And here we have just a reiteration of the law that was received in Deuteronomy and Leviticus being repeated here in for Ezekiel, for the restoration of the temple and the temple priest temple sacrifice system. Continuing here in Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 1. Moreover, when you shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, you shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, a holy portion of the land. The length shall be of 25,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all your borders thereof round about. Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length and 500 in breadth, square round about, and 50 cubits round about for the suburbs thereof. A description of the city. We also read about this in Leviticus and Deuteronomy when the law and the priest temple sacrifice service was given to the children of Israel in the desert, or at least in the going in of the land. And of this, the measure shall be the length of 5 and 20,000 and the breadth 10,000, and it shall be a sanctuary and a most holy place. The holy portion of the land shall be for the priests and the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister unto Yahuwah, and it shall be a place for their houses, and for holy place for the sanctuary, and the 5 and 23,000 of length, and the 10,000 of breadth, shall also the Levites, the ministers of the house, have for themselves for a possession for 20 chambers. And you shall appoint the possession of the city 5,000 broad and 5 and 20,000 long over against the oblation of the holy portion, and it shall be for the whole house of Israel. And a portion shall be for the princes on the one side, and on the other side the oblation of the holy portion and of the possession of the city before the oblation of the holy portion, before the possession of the city, from the west side westward to the east side and eastward, and the length shall be over against of the portions from the west border unto the east border. And the land shall be in his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people, and the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to the tribes. Thus saith Adonai Yahuwah, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice, and take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. You shall have just balances and a just ephah and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be one measure, and the bath may contain the tenth part of a homer, and the ephah a tenth part of the homer, and a measure thereof shall be after the homer. And the shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 5 and 20 shekels, 15 shekels shall be your mina. This is the oblation that you shall offer, the sixth part of an ephah of a homer of wheat, and you shall give a sixth part of an ephah of a homer of barley. So now we're talking about the just weight and measures that the kings are to have, and how things are going to operate in Israel when they come back out of the desolations and finish out the 70 weeks. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll continue this discussion when we get back.